The bursar stared at it and sighed. Unseen University had had many different kinds of arch-chancellor over the years. Big ones, small ones, cunning ones, slightly insane ones, extremely insane ones. They'd come, they'd served, in some cases not long enough for anyone to be able to complete the official painting to be hung in the Great Hall, and they died. The senior wizard, in a world of magic, had the same prospects of long-term employment as a pogo stick tester in a minefield. However, from the bursar's point of view, this didn't really have to matter. The name might change occasionally, but what did matter was that there always was an Arch-Chancellor, and the Arch-Chancellor's most important job, as the bursar saw it, was to sign things. Preferably, from the bursar's point of view, without reading them first. This one was different. For one thing, he was hardly ever in, except to change out of his muddy clothes. And he shouted at people, usually at the bursar. And yet, at the time, it had seemed a really good idea to elect an Arch-Chancellor who hadn't set foot in the university in 40 years. There had been so much infighting between the various orders of wizardry in recent years that just for once the senior wizards had agreed that what the university needed was a period of stability, so that they could get on with their scheming and intriguing in peace and quiet for a few months. A search of the records turned up Ridcully the Brown, who, after becoming a 7th-level mage at the incredibly young age of 27, had quit the university in order to look after his family's estates deep in the country. He looked ideal. "Just the chap," they all said. "Clean sweep, new broom, a country wizard. Back to the thingamajigs, the roots of wizardry. Jolly old boy with a pipe and twinkly eyes. Sort of chap who can tell one herb from another. Roams the high forest with every beast his brother kind of thing. Sleeps under the stars like as not. Knows what the wind is saying, we shouldn't wonder. Got a name for all the trees. You can bank on it. Speaks to the birds, too." A messenger had been sent. Ridcully the Brown had sighed, cursed a bit, found his staff in the kitchen garden where it had been supporting a scarecrow, and had set out. "And if he's any problem," the wizards had added in the privacy of their own heads, "anyone who talks to trees should be no trouble to get rid of." And then he'd arrived. And it turned out that Ridcully the Brown did speak to the birds. In fact, he shouted at birds. And what he normally shouted was, "Wing you, you bastard!" The beasts of the field and fowls of the air did know Ridcully the Brown. They'd got so good at pattern recognition that for a radius of about 20 miles around the Ridcully estates, they'd run, hide, or in desperate cases attack violently at the mere sight of a pointy hat. Within 12 hours of arriving, Ridcully had installed a pack of hunting dragons in the butler's pantry, fired his dreadful crossbow at the ravens on the ancient Tower of Art, drank a dozen bottles of red wine, and rolled off to bed at 2 in the morning singing a song with words in it that some of the older and more forgetful wizards had to look up. And then he got up at 5 o'clock to go duck hunting down in the marshes on the estuary, and came back complaining that there wasn't a good trout fishing river for miles. You couldn't fish in the River Ankh, you had to jump up and down on the hooks even to make them sink. And he ordered beer with his breakfast. And told jokes. On the other hand, thought the bursar, at least he didn't interfere with the actual running of the university. Ridcully the Brown wasn't the least interested in running anything except maybe a string of hounds. If you couldn't shoot arrows at it, hunt it, or hook it, he couldn't see much point in it. Beer at breakfast, the bursar shuddered. Wizards weren't at their best before noon, and breakfast in the Great Hall was a quiet, fragile occasion, broken only by coughs, the quiet shuffling of the servants, and the occasional groan. People shouting for kidneys and black pudding and beer were a new phenomenon. The only person not terrified of the ghastly man was old Windle Poons, who was 130 years old and deaf, and while an expert on ancient magical writings, needed adequate notice and a good run-up to deal with the present day. He'd managed to absorb the fact that the new Arch-Chancellor was going to be one of those hedgerow and dicky-bird chappies. It would take a week or two for him to grasp the change of events, and in the meantime he made polite and civilized conversation based on what little he could remember about nature and things. On the lines of, "I expect it must be a change for you, sleeping in a real bed instead of under the stars." And, "These things here are called..."